Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 45, September 23rd, 2010. Well, this is podcast number 45, and it is mid-September, and we are a little less than a week away from our big Life in Perpetual beta event.
We are. It's also the first day of fall, a very hot one.
Oh, today, yes.
That's today.
Yeah, record 97 degrees. Outrageous.
Our producer for Life in Perpetual beta is coming down from Chicago, so maybe she'll bring the cooler weather with her.
I hope so.
She will be here next Wednesday, September 29th. We will be showing the film at Memphis College of Engineering at 5:30, so join us.
And there's a lot more information about that at launchmemphis.com or on Facebook. By the way, I'm Ansley Phones.
And I am Rachel Smith. We're Dave-less today.
Dave is on vacation, but he will actually be here in spirit for the interview because we recorded the interview last week. So he will actually be on the podcast here in a little bit. So we just want to talk a little bit more about this Life in Perpetual beta. This film was crowdsourced. So this woman, Melissa Pierce, didn't really have any film experience, went out and tried to figure out, you know, who was interested, who would help out, and just pulled this film together. And it's a series of interviews with people asking about the internet revolution, about the technological revolution, you know, how is it changing life? And I think one of the really interesting angles they take on it is the surge in creativity that it allows.
Absolutely. And with a lot of good pieces of art, there is no really, not to say this movie has no direction, but considering that she had no experience, but she has done this anyway, she has really tapped into the psyche of a lot of people. And that is that there is sort of this revolution, as I use that loose term, to describe the way that social media is changing things and the way that basically the internet and our culture in general is changing with all of this evolution of what is at hand.
And one thing that we're doing to get psyched is we're going out and talking to people in the Memphis community about these very issues, and we're posting those videos on the Facebook page. If you search Life in Perpetual Beta Memphis Screening on Facebook, it should pop up. Or we'll have, obviously, a link to it in this blog post many times, probably. Just today, we posted one of those videos with Blake Palmer of The Commercial Appeal, who does their social media strategizing. And he had some really great things to say about how social media and the internet is changing the way we all get news.
We will have other people joining us for those film clips as the week progresses and we get ready for this screening. So stay tuned and see who all makes guest appearances to sort of talk about what's going on with this idea.
And speaking of our guests, let's go ahead and cut to our interview with Glenn Thomas of MLG&W.
Welcome Glenn Thomas, who is the Supervisor of Communication and PR over at our very own MLG&W.
Thank you.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Is there an and before the W?
There's not usually. We don't do an and, but it is common in the media and such to see it as such. But, you know, when you spell it out, there is an and. So
gotcha.
What can I say?
I didn't grow up here. I grew up, spent a lot of time out in California and PG&E. Over there, they throw in the N, you know, Pacific Gas and Electric. So how's it going over there at the MLGW these days?
It's going good. One of the things that we're doing to communicate more with customers, of course, is social media. And we're seeing really technology exploding. And I'm sure you guys are very much on top of that. But in terms of the use of smartphones and things like that. So more and more people are able to access the web, social media, texting communications, things like that. So we're trying to stay on top of things and communicate with our customers any way we can.
Now, how long have you been out there at MLGW?
I've been here 11 years.
11 years, okay. And so I'm going to guess that you've been in the communications and PR section of that, you know, at least most recently. And so here in the last few years, how did MLGW come to get into recognizing that, hey, you know, you got customers out there that are using these channels? Was there a realization there? The light came on or just a lot of knocks on the door kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, really we were looking for different ways to increase customer satisfaction. That can be a challenge, frankly, you know, where the city utility, and we send you a bill every month. So, and we're also looking for other ways to communicate with customers. So really it started for us back in 2008. I have someone on staff. She was a blogger in her private time, mm-hmm. and she suggested that we start a company blog. She's also a very active environmentalist, and she's big into conservation. So she really brought a new personality to the blog, which, of course, is very important. You know, we wanted it to be more conversational and less business-like than our primary website, but also serve a separate purpose mm-hmm. so that we weren't duplicating. So in 2008, we launched the blog, and that kind of opened up our minds and opened up the possibilities of exploring other types of social media. We started a YouTube channel in 2009. We started a Facebook page, and we also started a Twitter account in 2009. And, you know, I have to admit, we were just exploring these things. We didn't have a really drawn out strategy and a big roadmap for how mm-hmm. we were going to do it. We just wanted to explore the technology and see if it was something that our customers would respond to, and if it was something that would be useful to people.
Well, that's good. That's good. So one thing did not have to justify the next. You were already just exploring anyway.
Correct.
Different things.
Correct. I will say what was a catalyst for us that really made social media a permanent part of our communication structure was on June 12th of last year in 2009, mm-hmm. we had a big storm tornado come through, knocked out power to about one third of our customers. So this was very significant.
And when you say one third, how big is the customer base total?
We have about 420,000 customers.
Okay.
So we had 140,000 customers out.
Gotcha.
Even, you know, some critical facilities were out. We decided at our emergency operations center that we would do some updates via Twitter. Now, keep in mind, this is on June 12th of 2009. On that day, we had 220 followers. And strangely, we were kind of proud of ourselves at that point. It's like, hey, look at our 220 followers. But so we started doing Twitter updates. Mm-hmm. And within just a few days, we had more than 1,500 followers. Word of mouth spread quickly, and the reaction, while positive, was also pretty overwhelming. In fact, you know, if you've ever used TweetDeck and you hear the little whirring sound, mm-hmm. You know, I had that playing in my head when I went to sleep at night. But what happened, we started out doing this informally, and this didn't replace any of our traditional communications. We still took media out to our substations or work sites and things like that. This was something additional. But we definitely saw an opportunity there. And in terms of providing updates to customers, the primary question we got was, what's going on at my address? Mm-hmm. And at first we were like, well, this is kind of customer service territory, but let's go ahead and, you know, give them a little additional information, because we're able to go into the system and see where it was, if it was assigned to a crew. You know, we couldn't tell you exactly when your power was going to be back on, but we were able to give a little bit more information.
Okay.
And people really liked that. They just want to know we were working on it. And if they were having trouble getting through on the phones or whatever, this was an alternate way to get a little extra information.
Yeah.
So as this progressed, of course, I put one person on it full time. At the height of the restoration, I had two people working on Twitter full time. We even brought our president in for a Q&A session where we advertised it in advance.
Yes.
4 o'clock, President Jerry Collins will be in to answer your questions. And the media really liked that. They came in and filmed him answering questions on Twitter, things
Wonderful.
Like that.
I remember that day. Yeah, and that was so awesome. Yeah.
In fact, I remember you all covered our use of Twitter during the storm, because I've used that as an example. Look what LunaWeb said about us. We did good. That was for the people in the company
well.
That said, I mean, we don't need to be on Twitter. So,
because I imagine you know you don't have somebody doesn't come in. They come home from, you know, after a hard day's work. They come in and they turn the lights on. They go, wow, the power's working today. Thank you, MLG&W. You don't get those kind of tweets.
Yeah, right? not too many. No. No, but I tell you, what I was able to say to people in-house who were apprehensive of us utilizing social media was, look at this. You know, we had hundreds, thousands of conversations with customers during this time period that we might not ordinarily have had
mm-hmm.
Without this tool. Also, you know, for future purposes, we had several, you know, a couple thousand customers who are now following Twitter. So all of a sudden, wow, we've got a new responsibility on our plate. And now it's a daily part of our job. And I know I focused heavily on Twitter. With Facebook, it's much the same. We try to keep our messages synced. You know, when there's a blog post, there's a tweet that goes out and a Facebook post. But I would say Twitter really lends itself well to the utility industry, especially in terms of outage communications. Yeah. We use it for all sorts of communications, but you know, now we're probably up to about 3,000 followers. Again, it's a daily part of our routine. We have daily blog posts, daily Facebook postings, daily tweets, probably, you know, multiple tweets and posts in one day, and we interact a lot with customers. People will come to us with all sorts of questions, and we'll answer just about anything. The only thing we'll do is when someone says, you know, it's power out at 246 Smith Street or whatever, we say, hey, let's direct message this so you're not broadcasting to the internet world that you're out of power.
Okay.
And we also ask people to confirm via their MLGW account number so we know that they are who they say they are.
Okay. So just out of curiosity, would you rather have somebody, instead of saying at 1455, you know, Young Avenue, just have them say the 1400 block or something? Because I'm sure they want to get your attention without maybe creating any liabilities or safety concerns for themselves.
We would say direct messages because we do need a specific address to search in our system. Okay. We can't really search for a specific block. Mm-hmm. And it's also important for people to know that you can't actually report an outage through Twitter. You still need to call the 544-6500 number. What we can do is investigate further, but it won't actually be in our outage system if you don't call the number. So, you know, we don't have a means of relaying that or what have you. But we can give you a little extra information. One thing we also found, again, this is kind of learn as you go. I know in this day and age, some people are now have time to plan their social media implementation. We've kind of done things the hard way, I guess. But we realized that we had to manage expectations. And in the beginning of this outage, we would sign on and sign off every day to make sure people knew 2 o'clock in the morning, you won't get an answer to your tweet. Mm-hmm. But then after the restoration, we stopped doing that. And I quickly realized, hey, we need to do this every day, sign on and sign off so people know. And then on weekends, also let people know that generally this isn't staffed. And we also had to set parameters for the size of the outage with which we'll cover via Twitter. And that's if the outage affects 10,000 customers or more, or if it affects something significant like a St. Jude hospital or something, we would probably, you know, cover Twitter.
Sure.
And really it's just staffing limitations for me. I don't have enough staff to cover it 24 hours a day.
Now the signing out thing, that's interesting. Now, are you doing that both on Twitter as well as Facebook or just on Twitter?
Yes, we sign on and off more so on Twitter.
Okay.
I have to look at our Facebook page to see if we signed off yesterday. But especially on Friday afternoons, we also let people know, you know, we won't be covered this weekend. And that's a challenge, you know, because with Twitter and Facebook, people are used to getting information quickly. So it's important for us to let them know, you know, if you don't get an answer to your question, why? And that's why.
I think on Twitter, it's a little more acceptable to have more tweets in a day than Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, generally speaking, you may have some additional tolerance because you are the utility company. You know, so I'm sure you're not treated the same way as some ice cream shop down the street or you know some other retail outlet. You know, you're a utility, so I imagine you can say a whole lot more there than regular commercial type concerns.
Definitely.
So, are there any other channels that you guys are using right now? So we're talking, you know, Facebook, blog, Twitter. I'm sure you've checked
out. We've got a YouTube channel, Facebook, blog, Twitter. Those are the primary ones.
Okay.
You know, I will say there's some, I don't know if they're considered social media. You know, we monitor some other blogs that we know sometimes media reporters get story ideas from. I will sometimes go in and post on the commercial appeal in the comment section if there's an article related to us. And you have to be thick-skinned to do that. I've gotten flogged there a few times, but sometimes there is a good opportunity to clarify certain information, and also sometimes it's another way of kind of spreading out that message across these multiple mediums, and they're definitely related. You know, our website itself has seen a tremendous amount of growth in terms of the number of hits, visits that we get. Just this year, it's almost doubled. So while it doesn't, you know, there's not a direct correlation to social media. It tells you the more and more people are on the website, on the web. And again, probably because of the prevalence of smartphones, things like that. And I think that was why Twitter was so popular, because that was the only outlet a lot of people had.
Yeah.
So now I think we're, you know, like I said, it's really a daily part of our routine. We're up around 3,000 followers on Twitter, I think close to 900 on Facebook. So we have quite an audience. And in terms of measurements, you know, I think it is important to keep track of your followers. But for a company like ourselves, it's probably not going to be a situation where someone seeks you out unless they need something from you. We had an ice-related outage in mm-hmm. Collierville in January. For some reason, I don't know, I can't explain it, but our Facebook followers grew by 200. Twitter did not grow proportionately, but it shows you they needed something at that time.
Right.
You know, on YouTube, they're probably going to look at the guy doing the drunken motorcycle stunt before they, you know, look at our how to insulate your home. But if that opportunity comes up, it's there for you.
Yeah. No, that's great. As far as insulation, all the other information that you guys as a utility are putting out there for the public to consume. Mm-hmm. Real quick on the negative feedback that you get. I imagine there's constructive criticism. There's, you know, you've got with one act of nature, you've got thousands of customers who are all of a sudden wanting your attention. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some of them go do that very tactfully, you know, no doubt. But yes. Some people may vent some frustration, I imagine, out there in the social channels. What's that like?
Well, you know, it's a mixed bag. Some people, you know, they want to keep the conversation going, but, you know, 99% of the time we'll try to reach out to them. If it's just someone, you know, venting something, you know, hateful, profane, mm-hmm. we'll stay in the background. But if they express some sort of issue that we might be able to help by clarifying or putting them in touch with someone else that can help their problem, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. And I will say our admin for Twitter is really good at that, diffusing these types of situations. Wonderful. That's what we're there for. Wonderful. And we actually keep track of the problems solved via social media so mm-hmm. we can show, hey, we solved, you know, 9 different billing issues this month via Facebook.
Excellent.
Things like that. Because, you know, you've got the quantitative and followers and fans, but you also want qualitative. Mm-hmm. Problem solved, positive to negative interactions. Those are things we measure as well.
Great, great. You know, who knows, maybe on Facebook we'll be paying our bills there with Facebook credits at some point.
You never know. It's moving so fast.
It does move so fast. So tell us again, how do we find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, we are twitter.com/MLGW or at MLGW. Facebook, we're facebook.com/MLGW and the number 1.
Okay.
MLGW1. And on YouTube, it's youtube.com/MLGW ways to save.
Okay.
And the blog is called Bird on a Wire, and it's mlgw.blogspot.com.
Well, great. Did you have any requests to change that to squirrel on a wire after some recent incidents downtown? I think?
No, we've certainly had enough of rodent-caused outages for the year. I think we've definitely met our quota. So.
Okay. All righty. Well, hey, thanks so much for taking the time and joining us over here.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Keep up the good stuff.
Thank you.
So that was Glenn Thomas from MLG&W, and they do a really great job of connecting with their clients and their customers on Twitter. And I think that's a really great example of an industry that you wouldn't necessarily associate with social media. You know, you wouldn't think, oh, utility company, great with social media, but
they are.
And they found a lot of great uses for Twitter. You know, it's a quicker interaction with their customers. They can get specific answers out to specific people. And then there's a history that people can look through. You know, they can go to twitter.com/MLGW and look at all the tweets from that day and see if they've already addressed, you know, the outage in their area. So, you know, it's a really great tool for them.
And more than likely, if you are within the city limits, then obviously they are your provider. So you can follow them at MLGW, so do so.
In our other news this week, we've got a bunch of events coming up, some really exciting stuff. This is kind of the bar camp season, and we actually just got back this past weekend from Word Camp Birmingham, where I personally learned how to put different fonts on the LunaWeb blogs.
And did so successfully. It looks nice. Check it out.
I liked it very much. And Then this weekend, actually, we've got Bar Camp Jonesboro, September 25th. That's only an hour drive, so you should try to make it down.
Also, we've got Bar Camp Nashville coming up on October 16th. I know a couple of us will be driving up there for that if you want to hitch a ride. And then we will have our very own Bar Camp Memphis 2010.
November 13th. And that's going to be, for any of you who have attended before, we've done kind of a half and half thing where the first half was kind of planned talks, and then the second half was more traditional bar camp, crowdsourced. People can show up with presentations, or you can just say, well, I'd like to talk about this, and suggest a roundtable conversation. And people will vote. You know, all the topics will get put up on a board, and people will vote, and the schedule will be made accordingly. And usually we've done half and half with the scheduling, but this year we're actually doing it all crowdsourced, so it should be exciting. And we definitely need volunteers and sponsors, and we need sponsors of all levels. We need door prize donors, and we need monetary donations. We need volunteers.
Coffee, anything you want to give us, we'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, you know, just say hi to people and hand them a t-shirt or a sticker as they come in, or help them with name badges, I mean, we would really appreciate it. You can comment on this post, or you can shoot me an email at ansley@lunaweb.com, and I would be happy to talk to you about how you can get involved.
If you just want to come and listen, partake in Bar Camp Memphis, considering the format this year, if there's something you want to know, then more than likely you can learn it. Even if you're the first to volunteer that topic, there's a good chance that someone will be there with that information ready and able to educate you.
Cool. Well, before all of that, or before Bar Camp Memphis and before Bar Camp Nashville, on October 12th, we've got Ignite Memphis. I told you, there are a lot of events. I'm sorry we're throwing all these dates at you, but October 12th is the Launch Memphis Ignite, and that is a very cool event. It's going to be a Playhouse on the Square, so if you haven't been to the new Playhouse on the Square, this is your chance, and it's a really great format. Basically, you get 20 slides, and the slides automatically progress every 5 seconds, or every 15 seconds. So it's a 5-minute presentation, slides every 15 seconds. So you can talk about whatever, anything you're passionate about. Just get up there with 20 slides and, you know, each slide 15 seconds. But the great thing about that format is you can't get stuck listening to a boring speaker for all that long, or a topic you're not interested in, or anything like that. You know, so if they start and in the first 20 seconds you're bored, you, as the Ignite, the person who started this movement said, you get up, you go get a beer, and by the time you come back, they're done.
So if you're ADD, this is just for you.
Exactly.
But again, the most important date to remember, because it's approaching quickly, the other ones are important, but the one that's nearing quickly is Life in Perpetual Beta. And again, that's Wednesday, September 29th at 5:30, the Memphis College of Engineering. We will be promoting some specials next week, coupons, get in free, things like that, on our Facebook page. So like us there and get in on the fun.
So what's up in other news, Rachel? Is anything happening in the world of Foursquare? I saw you got a couple new badges recently.
I did. I got like 4 badges at once. This was in Birmingham while I was there for WordCamp. I stopped by the summit to shop a little bit, and I got 4 new badges, one of which was associated with Bravo. And if you don't know this yet about Foursquare, you can follow certain big companies or retail establishments, one of which is Bravo, which is obviously a channel. And they offer badges themselves. Like, I have a friend right now who's out in California. She got the Jobs badge because she visited the Apple headquarters. So there's a lot of this that's going on, and a lot of times they have promotions that are associated with them. I know MTV offered a promotion for their VMA Music Awards, which was there. If you checked into a music venue, you were sort of in for the running. So make sure that you're not just friending your friends on Foursquare, but you're also following these larger companies. MTV's on there, Bravo's on there, people like that. So follow them and you'll get a lot more than what you think you can.
Cool. So this is all catching on Foursquare, though, this industry. You know, have you seen any of this happening on Facebook Places?
I have to say that I have not, but that's because I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook Places. Foursquare is my friend for now.
What promotes that loyalty for you?
The fact that Facebook does not promote loyalty.
Ah.
Yeah, that's what it is. So for now, I'm with Foursquare. I'm testing out Facebook Places. I had my first check-in on Places over the weekend just to sort of see what was going on. There has been a lot of speak that Facebook Places is tapping into this trend of, you know, proximity marketing, and they are going to be joining forces with a lot of establishments here in the near future in order to start promoting this. And, you know, there's going to be free giveaways, or if you check in here, you get a 10% discount or free chips or whatever it may be. So it's coming.
You know, I have kind of fallen off of the Foursquare map recently. I lost my mayorship at LunaWeb.
To
Rachel. So I haven't been checking in a lot. But while I was on vacation last week in Disney World, I was or I guess it was week before last. Have I already been back that long?
You have.
Oh, okay. Week before last, I was in Disney World, and I used Facebook Places to check into the various parks at Disney World. And I was kind of hoping that people would, you know, send me comments like, make sure that you ride this. And at one point I even like did a status update and, you know, said, I'm going to be in Hollywood Studios tomorrow. What should I do? Nada.
Really?
Nothing. I was real sad about it.
You know, I think with all things, it starts on the West Coast and it slowly moves its way east. My friend who is making her way out west, she's been on a road trip. I've actually gotten some of her photos that she has posted on Facebook of the different Foursquare specials that she's seen advertised. I know she was at Ralph Lauren Rugby, which is sort of one of their, like there was like Polo Sport and all of that. So it's a break off of Ralph Lauren. And so they had like a little chalkboard sign outside their store that said every free check-in gets a rugby ball. So we'll post some of this photography along with this podcast, just so you can sort of see what's going on with this and what the benefit of it is and could be for you.
In other news, we have iPads.
We do. LunaWeb has iPads.
We're now switching to have all of our sales representatives and probably eventually most of our staff on iPads. And after having it now for about 2 weeks, I can tell you I like it, but I can't wait until it can multitask.
And we all know that's coming just with the release of the iPhone 4 or even the upgrade on the 3GS. You are able to sort of have your applications be able to open and close at will. So you could be listening to Pandora and typing an email at the same time. So we definitely know that's coming with the iPad. As with all Apple products, we always know that the first one is sometimes treated like a beta version. A very, very strong and good beta version, but it always gets better and better. So there is that to look forward to.
I definitely think that the iPad will also benefit from a front-facing camera. You know, I don't necessarily require that on my phone. That wasn't something I was super excited about for the iPhone 4. But for the iPad, that would actually be really cool to be able to video conference with people on an iPad with a front-facing camera. I think that would be more beneficial on this size device than on an iPhone.
Sure. And I'm sure we're not the only company who has had the ingenious idea that we will start using these for client interaction and projects and things like that. So there is definitely a lot of practicality to these things and ways that they certainly can be implemented into the workforce. So think about it, because we like it around these parts.
And it's a lot easier to lug home at night than a whole laptop.
Absolutely.
Well, let's just recap really quickly our events. In order, we've got Life in Perpetual Beta next Wednesday, September 29th, 5:30 at the College of Engineering Auditorium at the U of N. Then, well, actually, first is Bar Camp Jonesboro this weekend, but, and then we've got Ignite Memphis Tuesday, October 12th at 7 p.m. at Playhouse on the Square. And for both of those events, more information can be found at launchmemphis.com. And then we've got Bar Camp Nashville, October 16th. And then there will be Bar Camp Memphis on November 13th. And we're very excited. And please, we need volunteers. Contact me, ansley@lunaweb.com.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening.
Thanks, guys.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.